talking about our home. Talking about me and you. Things we'll do or say to our home.
Talking about our home.
Not talking about a one night stand. I want to be your man. I said a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Custom Home and Remodel Show, and Charleston's online home show, newhomecharleston.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
You and me, ain't that America? Something to see, baby, ain't that America? Home on the free, yeah. Little big houses for you and me.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. That was John Mellencamp with Little Pink Houses. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and a special thanks to our show producer, Sarah Lamb, for choosing today's home theme song. And if you have a home theme song you'd like us to play at the beginning of our radio show, visit the Charleston Home and Design Magazine's Facebook page, make a comment requesting a song, and we will play your request, and we will send you a free Charleston Home and Design Magazine t-shirt. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the three custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which takes place every January, Charleston's only open-air home show, the Charleston Home and Outdoor Living Festival, which is coming up April 22nd and 23rd at Volvo Car Stadium on Daniel Island, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every August. Well, today's radio show is being sponsored by Energy One America, and we're very proud to have Energy One America as one of the sponsors of the Charleston Home and Outdoor Living Festival. And we are hard at work getting ready for this particular home show. We've kind of changed things up. This is our sixth year of being on Daniel Island at Volvo Car Stadium, formerly Family Circle Stadium. And we decided to freshen things up a bit, and we changed the name. It was the Charleston Home and Design Show on Daniel Island. It's now called the Charleston Home and Outdoor Living Festival. And we've got a lot of exciting things planned for this show that we're going to be announcing in the next in the coming weeks. Give you a hint: there's going to be an amazing craft beer garden as part of the Charleston Home and Outdoor Living Festival. Returning for the sixth year will also be the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, our highly successful home tour, which takes place in conjunction with the Charleston Home and Outdoor Living Festival. And I wanted to take a moment to announce the builders that are participating in the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour. We've got a home by Shelter Custom Built Living. We're very proud to have Shelter Custom Built Living on board for the house tour. Also, Southeastern Custom Homes has got two houses on the tour. There's a total of six homes on the tour taking place on Saturday, April 22nd. Also, Lowcountry Premier Custom Homes, Barrow Building Group, and finally, Nautilus Company. So we've got six amazing private residences, all custom-built homes that the owners will be opening their doors to the public on this one day on Saturday, April 22nd from 1 to 5 p.m. The Charleston Home and Outdoor Living Festival is free admission, free parking. That's where you're going to pick up your tickets to the Daniel Allen Luxury Home Tour. We don't have tickets on sale yet. Expect those to go on sale in the next couple weeks. They're going to be $25 in advance or $30 the day of the tour. And we're partnering with the American Red Cross Low Country chapter. We're going to be making a nice big donation to those folks, so we're really, really proud to be doing a lot of good, and also not just for the charity, but also for the public, because anybody who is getting ready to build a house, or maybe you're building a house right now, or getting ready to remodel your house. There's nothing like being able to walk through different custom-built homes and glean ideas and information about who did what and so forth, and kind of steal those ideas for your own home. And I don't know anybody who's ever built a house who didn't go on one of these house tours. And so it's a really good opportunity to walk through 6 private residences on Saturday, April 22nd, the Daniel Allen Luxury Home Tour. You'll be hearing more about it in the coming days and weeks. But in the meantime, enjoy today's radio show. If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and now we're talking with Thomas Hellhoff with Energy One America. How you doing, Thomas?
Good, Tim. How you doing? Thanks.
Good. Take a moment and tell everybody about Energy One America.
Energy One America here is a local company here in Charleston that does insulation. We do spray foam insulation, fiberglass, encapsulations, and we make homes more energy efficient and comfortable.
Sounds good. When it comes to insulation, in years past, people would install the fiberglass insulation, you know, the pink insulation that people are familiar with. Energy One America can still help people with that, with the fiberglass insulation, but you folks primarily spray foam homes with spray foam insulation, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Fiberglass insulation is a typical insulation that builders choose. Deteriorates, it shrinks, it gets all the dirt from the outside, pollen. It doesn't do its job the way you're supposed to. If you don't have your floor air sealed, and you just add more insulation to the house, which we can do as well, we offer that service, it's just putting a bigger band-aid. So spray foam is the way to go. It stops all the air and temperature to get into the attic and into your house.
You know, a lot of people are thinking to themselves right now as they listen to us, you know, how are they going to spray foam my home? It's already got siding on it. I'm not a good candidate for spray foam insulation.
Oh, no, that's not the case. If I come out there and look at your house, I'll go up in the attic, and your biggest bang for your buck is your attic space. So it's where the radiant heat comes in and hits the roof. It's the air coming in from the soffits going up to the ridge. Your outside air is inside your attic, which affects your house, which in turn affects all the internal walls. And it's called the stack effect. Air travels from your crawl space up to your attic through internal walls. So we want to stop all that air penetration as well. So everyone's a candidate. It's just got to look at your house. Unless your house is all vaulted, then we can't really get your attic done.
Mm-hmm. Vaulted ceilings.
Vaulted ceilings, yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. So the biggest area that you can help homeowners save on energy costs will be by spray foaming the attic, the roof sheathing.
Correct.
In the attic?
Yeah, under the roof sheathing and closing off the soffits, we would make your attic encapsulated into a very comfortable condition.
So right now, not right now, but in the summertime, if you have fiberglass insulation, you go into your attic, it's about 120 degrees, you instantly start to sweat. If you have spray foam insulation in your attic, you go get something out of the attic, what will the temperature be inside that attic that's been spray foam insulated?
That's always a good question. I get that question a lot. We don't like using an exact number. It depends on how much trees you have and the exact sun, you know, how the sun's hitting at wind, etc. But usually about 10 degrees. So I usually say 10 to 12 degrees to be safe, but that's about it. So if you're in your attic, you're not going to break the sweat like you used to do. You and I can hang out there and watch a baseball game in July, and we're not going to sweat.
Right. And then the other thing that caught my attention is the conventional wisdom has been to that a house needs to breathe, but your Energy One America is going to spray foam the entire attic area and close off any air infiltration, right?
Right. Well, you don't want the outside air. Outside air is what's pushing the radiant heat out. So it's trying to get the heat out. It's for the Venturi effect from the soffit up to the ridge. We're going to close it off so you don't have to have a ventilated attic anymore.
And you're not getting any. So the whole house is sealed up. Does that do anything to the indoor air quality?
Makes the air quality better. You don't have that pollen coming into the house. It's coming into the attic. All those penetrations through light fixtures and electrical wires going down the penetrated holes that go down into the internal walls. The pull downstairs is not sealed. So you don't have a proper seal in a typical attic. By having spray foam, you have a clean attic. You don't have the outside pollen, the outside dirt that comes in from the outside.
Okay. And then the what would be the second area of the home in terms of priority that a homeowner ought to have spray foam insulated?
You do your crawl space. You want to do your crawl space second. So first attic, second crawl space, third is walls. But your crawl space, if your ducts are in a crawl space, a good idea to get an encapsulated crawl space. If you don't have ducts in a crawl space, you can go with a spray foam job. Spray foam jobs can be less money and give you a lifetime guarantee. No air will penetrate into your house as well, and no temperature. Mm-hmm. No, of course, also no moisture.
Gotcha. So attic first, the crawl space second, and then the walls, there's really not a lot of heat gain or loss through the
it's
walls.
It's a smaller amount, but some people don't have any insulation in their house, and sometimes there's old houses where the insulation has really deteriorated, so mm-hmm. we do take care of customers with a retro foam. We can do outside walls as well, but I'll usually do that in third place.
You've mentioned that word encapsulate, and what are you referring to?
The crawl space is encapsulated. It's a liner that goes to the floor and up the walls. We insulate the outside walls, run a dehumidifier, close off your vents. And so now your crawl space is inside a controlled temperature.
Mm-hmm. So if you've got ductwork underneath the house, if you've experienced any... Well, you tell our listeners who might need their crawl space encapsulated. What might they be experiencing right now that would lead them to give them an idea that they need to call Energy One America?
Well, almost everybody needs something done in their crawl space. Fiberglass insulation does not work. It absorbs moisture, creates mold. I go in a lot of crawl spaces where I find mold behind the insulation. So by having encapsulation, if you have ductwork, the encapsulation protects the ducts as well, and that's why you'd want to get the encapsulation. If you don't have the ducts, you can just do a spray foam against the subfloor, which will stop the moisture. A lot of the air you breathe in your house comes from your crawl space. If I would go in the crawl space and spray paint the dirt in the ground, you're gonna smell that fumes that's in the house. You're gonna smell it from the crawl space. So that's coming up. So all day long, you're breathing the moisture and the wetness and whatever's down there. So having an encapsulating would protect the ducts, protect your house. If you didn't have the ducts, spray foam the subfloor, and that'll give you the same effect.
Mm-hmm. Will homeowners save money on their energy bills if their house is their crawl space is encapsulated?
You will save a little bit. It's not as much as an attic, but you definitely will save a percentage.
Gotcha. What do your customers tell you their typical savings are on a monthly basis when they've had their attic spray foamed?
I have a lot of customers that run into me at the home show every time I go have the home show, and they say, you did my house a year ago. You did my house a year and a half ago. And everybody is telling me between 35 to 45% when you do the attic. Hmm. Crawl spaces are usually about 10 to maybe 20%. Mm-hmm. Every house is different.
Gotcha. And there's two different kinds of spray foam insulation. There's closed cell and open cell. Which do you recommend for what application?
They both do the same for energy efficiency. They both give you the same air stoppage. Open cell is a product that has no structural strength. So if a storm comes through, you will it won't glue anything together. A closed cell glues it all together and makes a structure 300 times stronger. So if you have concerns with strength, you want to we live in a coast here, hurricanes come through, and you want to make your structure stronger, then go with a closed cell. If that doesn't bother you, open cell foam is less money and will give you the same energy efficiency.
Open cell is also better for soundproofing, is that right?
Correct. Soundproofing is, we use that for most of the time for walls, for new construction, sound walls between bedrooms and living rooms, between bathrooms and laundry rooms. It's a soundproofing as well. So,
Gotcha. Well, how can folks get more information about Energy One America?
Well, look us up at energyoneamerica.com. And you'll see all the videos that we got posted on the internet, and his phone number right there. And you just, you know, you give us a call and look us, or just fill out the form, and someone will come out and see your house.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Well, we have been talking with Thomas Hellhoff with Energy One America. Thanks so much, Thomas.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and now we're talking with Mike Thompson with Outdoor Lighting Perspectives. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Tim. Good to be here.
Yeah. Mike, take a moment and tell everybody about Outdoor Lighting Perspectives.
We are Charleston's biggest and best outdoor lighting company. We've been here in Charleston about 15 years. I myself have been doing outdoor lighting for 10. You know, so we're the experts in the field. We have the best quality products and the best service.
Good deal. Why should someone consider having lighting on the outside, focusing on their landscaping and their home?
You know, it's a beauty thing. You know, the great thing about Charleston, and it, you know, it's world renowned, is the architecture here, and really highlighting, you know, the architecture of the house or the beautiful live oaks, palms we have here in Charleston. You know, it just accentuates it. But it's also the safety aspect as well. You know, you've got a well-lit house, a well-lit yard. It looks like somebody's home. So something that, you know, somebody typically would not mess with, because it always looks like somebody's there.
So if you care about your home, if you really want your home to look like $1 million, if you're very proud of your home, in the daylight, why not accentuate it with the dramatic lighting that you can have at the nighttime as well?
Absolutely.
Good deal. One of the things that's on people's mind is energy consumption, and I'm sure we have some listeners thinking, you know, that's just another thing that's going to add to my power bill. I'm trying to reduce my power usage, and I don't need any outdoor lighting.
You know, typically, you know, my smallest transformer we can do up to 60 fixtures on. So, you know, these systems are pretty infinite when it comes to expansion, because they're all LED. It's all the energy efficient. But you take that, if, you know, say somebody does a 60 light system, which, you know, it's varied, but you could run that system, that 60 light system, night in, night out, dusk till dawn. You might see a 50-cent difference in your power bill per month. So it's very energy efficient.
How much?
50 cents.
50 cents.
50 cents a dollar at most, extra a month energy consumption, because it's LED, because it's low voltage. You know, so it's very energy efficient. People are wanting to go green, you know, and even if you have an existing system that you know, is 15, 10 years old, those bulbs are costing you between $10 and $15 a month running, whereas, you know, obviously that dollar compared to 15 a month is a big savings. So it's very energy efficient, very green.
What if someone has a exterior lighting package now, and it may not be LED? So are they paying more for their power then?
They are. You know, typically, say a 12 light halogen system, you run them 5-6 hours a night, you're going to spend between, you know, $5 and $20 a month, depending on if your bulbs are good quality or if they're about to die. You know, it's better in the long run for energy efficiency, for savings, to upgrade to LED.
Does Outdoor Lighting Perspectives work on outdoor lighting systems that you did not install?
Absolutely, and it's one of my pleasures, or something that I enjoy doing, going into a system that's not ours, or even one of ours that hasn't been serviced in many years, getting in there and really cleaning it up, making it look beautiful again, and upgrading it.
Mm-hmm. So that's good to know that people can call Outdoor Lighting Perspectives even if you folks didn't install a system. What about if the landscaper, you know, nicks a line or breaks a light when they're out trimming and so forth?
You know, typically, and things happen. If you're under my warranty program, you know, if it's a cut wire, fixture gets knocked over out of the stake, you know, something that's covered under that, we'll come out and take care of it for free. You know, we like keeping our customers happy. We want to keep these systems looking good year in, year out. But, I mean, and that's all part of the warranty.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've spoken to you since Hurricane Matthew. What kinds of experiences have your customers had with maybe trees falling or you know damage to their outdoor lighting systems?
You know, it's with the you know the big winds, the trees you know being taken up. You know, there might have been a fixture there that needs to be moved or one that got pulled out or knocked over. So we can typically take that, you know, put it in a new position. You know. Set it back up like it's supposed to on a different tree or move it. I mean, that's part of the warranties and the maintenance we do as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, spring is practically here. What kinds of maintenance things would you suggest for that people need if they've got an outdoor lighting system at home?
You know, it's especially one that if it hasn't been serviced in a long time or you haven't done a bulb change, you know, and you're it being warm now, you're starting to get out there. You know, it's free for me to come out. You know, you call us, it's free for me to come out, take a look, kind of assess your system, see what we can do about, you know, upgrading it, fixing it, adding on to it. And then, you know, we put you under my warranty and then you're good to go.
What about what's the difference between some of the outdoor lighting systems you can buy at maybe one of the big box stores versus, you know, a professionally installed system from outdoor lighting perspectives?
You know, it's all quality of products and know-how. You know, you do it yourself, we can go to Lowe's, pick up a lighting system and, you know, install it, but does he know where to put the fixture to really highlight the house or the tree best? And typically, you know, you get something from Lowe's or Home Depot, it's going to be a cast aluminum or a plastic. And here in the Sierra, typically, those things last between 3 and 5 years, and you're basically trashing them. You know, the stuff we use is all copper and brass, which are the non-corrosive metals, stuff that lasts a lifetime, that we give a lifetime guarantee on. You know, and then on top of that, you have the energy savings with the LED. So basically, once you install it, it's a lifetime guaranteed system.
Mm-hmm. And how deep does Outdoor Lighting Perspectives typically bury your low voltage lines?
You know, anytime we go into a customer's house or a yard, I should say, you know, we try to leave it as if we just found it, you know, if not better, make it look good. But if we're trenching through a yard, it's all hand dug, you know, we don't use big trenchers. We want it, like I said, leave it just as we found it. It's typically 8 to 10 inches deep is the wire between bed to bed. In the beds themselves, if you have pine straw mulch, we'll rake that back to the soil level. Landscapes take the wire down. That way, if you're ever digging in there, you're out in the garden, you'll see the wire. You won't cut it. But, I mean, typically, like I said, we like to leave it just as if we found it.
Do you ever give a diagram to your customers that kind of shows where the lines are buried?
We do. We've had customers ask us to flag it out so they can, you know, kind of know where everything is. And if a customer, you know, really wants to know where the wire is, it's very easy for me to mm-hmm. diagram that for them.
Right, right. Because there might be some digging down the road. You don't want to have to damage that. What's the process like when a customer calls Outdoor Lighting Perspectives? How do you determine what features of a home or the landscaping are going to get certain lights? And I mean, is there any way to test the system in advance?
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever I go into a consult, if a customer calls me to come out, you know, I like to look at it as if I was lighting up something in my house. What would I light up if this was my home? You know, we look for the ornate, the beautiful trees. You know, we try to highlight the angles of the architecture of the house to really focus on that. But and sometimes a customer can envision it very easy, but other times, and it's very easy for us, we can do a nighttime demonstration where I come out at night, I set up everything we've talked about at the consult. We can kind of pick and choose as to what you want specifically, and it just – and then you're able to see what it looks like. Really, it really helps to envision the job better
right,
that way.
Right. And you can kind of move things around or decide if you you want something different. That's great. Well, how can folks get more information about Outdoor Lighting Perspectives?
You can visit us on the web at www.charleston.outdoorlights.com, or you can call us at 843-412-5874.
Okay, great. Well, we have been talking with Mike Thompson with Outdoor Lighting Perspectives. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Tim.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and now we're talking with Jody Crosby with Crosby Creations Home Designs. How are you doing, Jody?
I'm doing well, Tim. How are you?
Good. Take a moment and tell everybody about Crosby Creations Home Designs.
We are a full-service design firm in the residential architectural realm. So we basically do a lot of renovations, addition work, custom house design. We take it from concepts all the way through to full house plans, full design plans.
So if somebody is renovating their home, rather than just kind of do things by the seat of their pants, they can sit down with Crosby Creations Home Designs, and you can help them create a plan, an entire design. Maybe they're putting on an addition, or they're changing the floor plan, taking down some walls and so forth. You can help them with the plan so that you have a set plan going into the project, and you're not having to kind of do things piecemeal.
That's exactly right. And if you're doing a project, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to pull a permit anyways. So you can't really go by the seat of your pants. So you do have to have a plan. You do have to have an engineer involved if you're doing anything structural. Typically, if people come to me and say, hey, I'm going to redo my bathroom or my kitchen, I'll tell them, you know, if you're not doing anything structural, then you probably need to go to a kitchen or bathroom designer. But if you're moving a wall, if you're widening an opening or anything of those sorts, then we need, you know, ourselves or someone needs to be involved in the design aspect of things to help just sort of lay things out. And we can give them options. We do small projects, you know, where maybe someone is just taking a wall out between a family room and a kitchen. And then we do complete comprehensive projects from, you know, start to finish, lifting houses, revamping the floor plan, you know, 2 and 3 story houses where we're literally, they're going in, they're gutting everything. We've moved interior stairwells and reworked floor plans from just top to bottom and just completely transformed them from a, you know, 1980s compartmentalized floor plan to something that very similar to what we would design for new construction these days, where people really want that open layout, that open floor plan, bring the kitchen into the family room and really just, you know, make everything a nice big common area.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me if I'm wrong, but if a homeowner calls Crosby Creations Home Designs and you folks create that plan for the renovation, let's say, now you know exactly what's going to go into this renovation, and you could take that plan and allow 2 or 3 different remodeling contractors to bid it out, and they're bidding it out on an apples-to-apples basis because they know exactly what's going to be going into that, versus, you know, inviting the builder over before the homeowner talks with Crosby Creations, and the builder is sort of saying, oh yeah, we can do this and we can do that, and then that might not translate to another remodeling contractor that the homeowner talks to, correct?
Yes, that is absolutely correct, and oftentimes I find that builders really don't even want to have that conversation with a homeowner until they have plans, for that simple reason. You know, they really want something on paper to be able to bid from, estimate, you know, get square footages, pricing, go over spec levels, and so on and so forth. So we really are, you know, the first step in the process.
Gotcha. And everybody today, you know, wants to try to maximize the dollars that they're spending. And so being able to, you know, hire a remodeling contractor, you know, making an informed decision on that, that seems like the best way to do that is to hire Crosby Creations Home Design and then have that plan, and then you can shop it around. When it comes to new construction, Crosby Creations Home Designs, you folks are an essential part of building a new home. Talk about the process a homeowner would go through with Crosby Creations Home Designs as it relates to building a new home.
Well, first and foremost, and I can't stress this enough, is we really need to have a survey of the property that they're wanting to put the house on. It doesn't matter if it's in a subdivision. It doesn't matter if it's in the country and it's 5 acres. We need to have a survey. If it's in a flood zone, we need to have, you know, topographical survey on top of tree survey, so on and so forth. It's so vital. It is what I start with when I start a design. I actually import the survey, and that's what I design the house on top of. Mm-hmm. It's important for the layout, making sure we're staying within setbacks for smaller lots, and it's also important for the height. If we have to do a crawl space, a drive under, anything that correlates with the flood zone or neighborhood requirements for raised slabs, I can't stress that enough. It's number one. I won't even usually meet with the client unless they have a survey, because it's just so vital.
Are there certain surveyors that you recommend to your customers as well?
I do. I have a handful of surveys, and anybody who reaches out to me, I have a contact list that has surveyors, landscape architects, interior designers, soil consultants, engineers, the whole nine yards. So we really, even though we might not take care of every aspect of the design, I try to help guide people through the process, especially people that have not done anything like this before, so that they can really use us as a resource to pull other people. And I mean, I've vetted all of these people, so I work with them all the time, and they're, you know, fantastic. I also have a list of builders that I can recommend. Mm-hmm. Once we get the survey, we go in and, you know, we have this meeting that's usually an hour to an hour and a half long. We go through every aspect of the house that's important to its design: square footage, ceiling heights, foundation type, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, you know, what components do they want in the kitchen, the master bathroom, do they want a Jack and Jill, you know, bathroom between two bedrooms upstairs, exterior style, architectural style, do they want a story and a half, do they want a cottage, do they want, you know, an estate home. We go through all of those things, and we get, you know, down to the nitty-gritty details, and I take that form, a written form, and that's what we start our design with. We start with conceptual, we get approvals, make tweaks, we go on to, you know, sort of a preliminary semi-final, and I would say that a lot of my clients feel that it's a pretty simple and seamless process. As long as they're relaying to me exactly what they want, we can typically put it on paper.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I would guess that when you're talking with homeowners that are looking to build a new home, they probably refer to it as their dream home, right?
A lot of people do, but I do have those that, you know, this is my 5-year plan, you know, let me just sort of get it on the ground. I'm not doing anything extravagant, but 9 times out of 10, yes, people are going into this because they do intend to live in this house for a very long time.
Right. And so they might be including certain things in the house that they dream about and they would love in their dream home, but maybe they can afford it, maybe they can't. How do you help them kind of pare back some of those, you know, large ticket items like elevators, and, you know, they might want a beautiful built-in swimming pool, and, you know, just things that people would want in their dream home, but maybe they can't afford, they don't have a budget for that.
Well, and of course, everything, you know, I would say 98% of the things that we do are very budget driven. I can't say I've really had too many clients come to me and say, you know, money's no issue. Mm-hmm. So we go through the budget, and with the best of my knowledge, I try to help them back down those items. You know, well, sure, elevator would be great, but let's just go ahead and put in an elevator shaft. So down the road, if you need it, you can put it in a future, you know, instance. Brick foundations, metal roofs, those are, you know, pretty big ticket items. And if they don't have the budget for it, then, you know, I have those very honest conversations, and sometimes people aren't happy about knowing that they can't afford those items. But in the grand scheme of things, I think people would much rather have their house built in the end and within their budget than getting surprised with going way, way over budget when they meet with the builder, because I haven't been, you know, I haven't been the bad guy and said, hey, you can't afford that.
That's a big deal. There's some people on my daughter's soccer team that they just got done having their house designed by an architect, and they just started bidding it. And the first bid that they got, the cost per square foot came in at $475 a square foot.
Let me guess, they couldn't afford it.
Exactly. And now they're, you know, I just, you know, she was telling me and I could just see the stress on her face. And it was like, you know, this is the house we had designed. We've already paid for all those architectural services. Now we don't even know if we can afford to build it.
I don't know what conversation other people are having with their clients, but budget is such a huge, huge part of the conversation. If my clients have a builder selected already that they're leaning towards or that they're, you know, pretty confident they're going with, I'll coordinate with the builder and I'll say, hey, you know, is this within their budget? And we just try to collaborate. My goal is that every house that I design actually gets built. And gets built within or very, very close to the client's budget so they can live in that house. And, you know, I'm not designing just to put stuff down on paper. I'm designing because I want it to be a realization.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can folks get more information about Crosby Creations Home Design? Because we've just scratched the surface. I love interviewing you because we always end up talking about some very relevant topics. But we probably have some listeners that would like to call you and have a one-on-one conversation. How can they get in touch with Crosby Creations Home Designs?
Well, they can reach me at 843-514-7354. They can look me up on the web at crosby-creations.com.
And have you got any photos of houses that have been built that you designed?
We have got tons and tons of photos. If you go onto my website, go to the portfolio, and you click on that link, it'll take you to my house profile. I think I have over 30 projects uploaded on that alone. I literally can't get out to all the projects that you know, we've done. We've been in business for, this month makes 9 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So we've done hundreds and hundreds of projects. So I just literally, I don't have the resources to go out and photograph everything, but we do have a very expansive portfolio on house, and I invite people to look. There's all different styles and shapes and sizes and spec levels and costs.
Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Jody Crosby with Crosby Creations Home Designs. Thanks so much, Jody.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and now we're talking with Lane Manos with Pacific Shore Stones. How you doing, Lane?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Tell everybody about Pacific Shore Stones.
Well, we are a wholesale distributor located right off Clements Ferry Road, so not far from Daniel Island. We have a 43,000 square foot warehouse that we hold a little over 3,000 slabs. And so we are open to the public for you to come in and view the slabs. And then we send your selections off to a fabricator, and that's the guys that are going to cut and install your stone.
Gotcha. Okay. So Pacific Shore Stones, you folks specialize in providing natural stone slabs.
Yep,
that ultimately become countertops. And other
absolutely.
Things.
We do the countertops for like kitchens and baths and fireplace. I mean, everybody comes to us to look at it all. Natural stones include granite, marble, and quartzites. And then all the rage right now is quartz, which is the engineered stone, and we carry our own line of quartz called Pac Shore Quartz.
Hmm. What does when you say engineered stone, sometimes that might throw people off, and they don't want a man-made product.
Yeah.
They want something natural.
Yeah. Well, so man-made's really, the engineered stone's really big right now because they're making this stuff look like marble, but without the maintenance of marble. You know, marble's great. It's got that classic look. But it takes some time to take care of. You know, it can stain easily and scratch easier. So nowadays people want something easy breezy and they don't have to worry about it. So these quartz slabs are made overseas and they've got this stuff just looking exactly like marble, the veining. But every slab is identical. So you can book match them and do whatever you need to have a great look. Mm.
And for some people who might not be totally familiar, a slab, what does a slab look like?
They're all colors.
Like dimension-wise.
dimension-wise, like about a little over 10 feet long, which is great because nowadays people want these huge 10-foot islands. So they're coming about 126 inches long mm-hmm. by about 63 inches tall. Gotcha. So if you want that huge island, that is the way to go.
Right. Now, and about how many of these slabs does Pacific Shore Stones have on?
Well, right now, my total inventory is about 3,500 slabs right now. Quartz wise, I mean, that's probably 25% of my inventory. And I've got close to probably 300 or so quartz slabs coming in within the next few weeks.
Wow. And you were mentioning that a lot of people love marble in their kitchen. Marble is a softer stone than granite, and that's why it's used an awful lot in the bathroom, where
right.
there's less impact and so forth. But in the kitchen, you could actually, if you're using marble in the kitchen, if you were cutting on the stone, you can scratch it.
Yeah.
Wine glass.
Yeah. You could stain, even with a sealer, it could still happen. We recommend sealing stones about, marbles in particular, about 3 times a year. And your fabricator will know more on, you know, sealers and what best sealers, you know, what they recommend. They'll know more about that than we do, but we do recommend sealing marbles about 3 times a year. But yeah, if you spill something on marble, you need to wipe it up right away. If you were to leave a lemon wedge sitting on a marble, it could etch it, which it could kind of take the polish off. Whereas you can go and get a quartz that looks exactly like that Carrara marble and not have that maintenance of the Carrara.
And quartz is typically these marble looking slabs have like 96% quartz, and quartz
yeah.
is a natural.
Yeah, yeah. So it's stone. Just compounded in these manufacturing plants, and just kind of molded and sealed together. And how they get all these veinings to match and be identical, it's a crazy process.
Well, granite used to be like the choice, and
yeah.
now you're seeing a lot of interior designers choosing quartz countertops
yeah.
for the kitchen.
Right, and as it was a couple years ago, white and gray is still the thing right now, and granite just doesn't come white, and granite doesn't come very, you know, people are kind of wanting this marble, modern marble clean look, and granite doesn't come that way. So if you're wanting something, you know, just simple and modern looking, that's where quartz comes in and is the best thing. And now I do have people that are doing something like a quartzite, which is a natural stone, or granite that has some movement and has some busyness to it on an island, and then doing just like a solid gray or a solid white on the perimeter of the kitchen. That's really big right now too.
Pacific Shore Stones, you folks don't cut the stone or fabricate
right.
the stone. Why is it important to visit Pacific Shore Stones before you actually, you know, have your countertops fabricated?
Yeah. So like I said before, we're a 43,000 square foot warehouse, and we have these huge aisles that you can come and bring your cabinet doors and paints and floor samples and backsplashes, and you can bring those with you, and we have little carts that you can put them in, and you just go up and down the aisles to where you can put all these things that you want up against a slab and back away from it and really see the whole picture of your project.
Versus if you go, when you're talking to
yeah, so
a fabricator.
At a, going to a fabrication shop, they can't hold slabs like we do because they've got to have those huge fabrication machines, and it's dirty and loud and, you know, it's and wet because they've got the, you know, the water saws, and that way we don't have that. We're just a warehouse holding these slabs, so you can come and see it all and see everything.
Ultimately, even if you just go to the fabricator and you're looking at little
three samples, and you can't tell anything from that sample. Just like if you were to go to one of these big box stores, you know, the home improvement stores, they're going to have these little samples. You can't see the full picture, and you really need to see the full picture, because that sample just could be like one little corner of a slab, and then the slab's got this whole other huge movement or vein going through it that you would have never known about until it got on your countertop. And you may have been like, whoa, I don't know if I like that. Right. And then also a benefit to us is you can actually come and pick your slabs. So we've got forklifts that will move slabs to where you can come in and say, I want that one for my island or that one for my master.
And the fabricator, just to, so that they have their bases covered, they're going to have the homeowner visit Pacific Shore Stones before they start cutting that stone.
Yes.
You're going to have to take a visit to Pacific Shore Stones anyways.
Absolutely.
To approve your slab. So you might as well go there at the beginning and pick the perfect slab.
Yep.
But the challenge is, if you've got 3,500 slabs, how do you narrow your choice?
It's hard. It's really hard. I get customers that come in one time and they know exactly what they want and they see it and it's done. And then I have several customers that I know their names, their children's names, because they come in so many times because it's a big decision. You know, it's something that you're purchasing for your home that you're looking at every day and you want to love it. But yeah, it's a little bit overwhelming. People walk back in there and they don't realize how large it is and how much there is.
How do you have the slabs organized at Pacific Shore Stones?
It's hard. Because we're a distribution center as well, so we bring in all the containers for our locations, and we're unloading the containers to ship to our other 16 locations within the U.S. So organization's a little bit difficult, but I do have, like, my quartz and my marbles in a certain area, and then I have my granites and my quartzites kind of all mixed in with everything.
So, for example, if someone was redoing a rental apartment, they don't want a real exotic stone. They want something very, very basic.
Yeah.
Would you be able to point them to, okay, all of these stones are our least
absolutely.
Expensive?
Yep. Okay. Yep. And because we kind of do, you know, based on like a star system for price, since we're just the wholesaler, we can't give pricing to the public. That's where the fabricator comes in and you get pricing from them. So we've got a star system. So one star is on the lower end and four is the highest. So I do kind of have my one stars kind of in one area and then my more exotics in another area.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you can maybe splurge on go for a 3 or a 4 star type stone, like on the island, for example.
Yep.
And
then do something less expensive on the perimeter. Yep,
gotcha.
Absolutely.
Interesting. How can folks get more information about Pacific Shore Stones?
We've got a website, www.pacificshorestones.com. Like I said earlier, we're located right off Clements Ferry Road at 414 Jessen Lane. And to speak with me specifically, our office is 843-744-5665 is our phone number. We've also got a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on Howls. We're on all that too. So you can find us.
Awesome. Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Lane Manos with Pacific Shore Stones. Thanks so much, Lane.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And now we're talking with Steve LaFay with Handyman Connection. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Steve, take a moment and tell everybody about Handyman Connection.
Handyman Connection is a business here in the Charleston area. We've been serving the area for 16 years now. We are the second owners. We're in our third year of business and growing the business and moving into more of remodeling along with the handyman work. So we still have the handyman who do what everybody's used to for the past 15 years, and we've added custom closets, custom bookshelves to, we'll remodel bathrooms, kitchens, even a full house we've done. Mm-hmm. So
what are some of the typical handyman projects that people call Handyman Connection for?
Oh, that's a variety of things. We get anything from, can you come change out a ceiling fan that's not operating anymore, to a leaky toilet, to we got a call today about a light fixture in a bathroom that is broken, and they're asking if we can replace a specific part versus the whole light.
Mm-hmm. They do. You're probably never just one project. There's probably like, well, while you're here, right? You get that a lot. While you're here, can you also do this? And I've my toilet's running, and can you take a look at this loose piece of carpet that we have? That kind of thing.
Yes, that happens a lot. We actually encourage it, and sometimes on the initial call, we'll encourage that just because. Getting to a customer's house, there's a cost. We do offer free estimates, but our guys show up ready to do the work. Mm-hmm. So if they're already there, you're incurring a mobilization cost. So the more you have, the price actually goes down per project because mm-hmm. of that. And we also have what's called a home scan that we will hand out to customers and basically lists all the different things they should be checking and they can put that together, and we'll come out and take care of it.
Mm-hmm. How does the pricing work with Handyman Connection?
It's we head out, we look at their to-do list, we assess the project. Our craftsmen will actually go out to their back out to their vehicle and look up the price of materials, and they come in with an estimate, and they do the work for the price on the estimate, whether. The price is the price. If mm-hmm. if something happens and it takes them longer than they thought, then unless it's an unforeseen issue, the price doesn't go up or down. The customer knows what they're going to pay up front.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. What are some of the most cost-effective ways to improve the value of your home?
I believe one of the most cost-effective ways is keeping up on your maintenance. Down here in the south, the exterior of your house, the paint, the cleanliness, keeping it pressure washed, because that black sooty silt that's getting on your house is actually eating away at your paint and at your pressure treated deck. Pressure treated decks down here take a beating, and keeping them cleaned and maintained. Keep that clear coat, or if you have a stain. I find here in the south it should be done yearly, mm-hmm. if you can. If not, at least every other year, and you'll gain five plus years out of that particular lumber. And same with paint, keeping your paint and check the caulk in your windows to prevent leaks.
Mm-hmm. Does Handyman Connection have any kind of a checklist for homeowners if they wanted to, you know? Just have some of these maintenance items taken care of, like on an annual basis or anything.
That's a great idea. We do have the home scan, which would have most of these items on it. We do and are capable of doing most of the maintenance. And if we don't do it, for the most part, we have referral businesses. For example. We'll maintain your filters for you. We do have customers that were on a scheduled basis to do things like that. But if an HVAC system needs repair, we have referral partners that we would give them their name and number.
What about homeowners, absentee homeowners, people that they've got a second home here in Charleston, but they live, say, in Chicago or New York or something?
We have many of those customers. And as long as we can work it out, access to the home is usually the fun part, but we've got processes in play, and we have recommendations of sometimes we've had people put a lockbox on the house, or we'll put a lockbox on the house so that their tenant can get in and out, and we can as well. We also will schedule with their tenant to get in, and then but discuss the project with them only so that they know what's going to be done or not done. Mm-hmm. But we have those processes in play.
That's a big thing, because when a homeowner they're flying into Charleston to go to their second home, they're kind of like in a party mode. They're not, they don't want to have to be calling repair people. They want everything to work in their house, and so they could call Handyman Connection and ahead of time and have you kind of do a once through the house and make sure that everything's operating correctly.
Absolutely. And again, we do that for customers, and we have room for more.
We're coming up on the busy selling season for real estate, and May is one of the best months to put your home up for sale. Why is it important to begin updating your home now to prepare for those spring months?
now is crunch time. Everybody's starting to get busier. Schedules are booking. Materials sometimes have a lead time, so now is the time, or even earlier, to have that discussion, get that price, and because sometimes if we have to order a door or a window, that could take weeks to come in, and then if you're planning on listing your home in May, they're looking to take pictures in April, so mm-hmm. Yeah, the sooner the better.
You know, when it comes to remodeling your home, a lot of people think about the upfront cost, but they don't realize that in many cases, whatever project that they're going to be spending money on right now, that money's going to come back to them when they go to sell their house. So it's really an investment in their home. And I always think about, you know, why not do the work now, enjoy your house to the utmost. And you know, when you go to sell it, you're going to get a return on the money that you've put into those projects versus trying to, you know, fix up your house in order to sell it next month or something like that. What are some of the top projects that will increase your home's value?
I guess that would depend if you're asking the husband or the wife. I would think the husband's going to pick a man cave over a kitchen, but I think when it comes to value to a house, the two that come to mind are kitchens and bathrooms. Everybody's searching for new homes. Most everybody's looking for that updated kitchen that they're seeing in magazines. And same with bathrooms, especially that master bath. I do talk to a lot of customers who say, I've never used this jacuzzi tub, but if they don't have it, it's one point against them for selling their house, unless they have the same type of owner looking who isn't looking for a bath. So I would say kitchens and baths. And the other thing, if you're looking at investing and enjoying your home, it's the inside first, but then the outside. I would, curb appeal is something that I would look to add to a mm-hmm. house as well. You want to be able to come home to that comfortable house.
What are a few areas that you that would surprise people that can boost the value of their home?
I would say down here in the South, from what I've learned, one would be if you have a crawl space, your crawl space area of your home is as important as your living space. A lot of repairs prior to selling houses have to do with crawl spaces, and a lot of the humidity, if insulation isn't installed properly, it's all sagging or falling out. The vapor barriers are torn. So maintaining that and getting that fixed before you show a house, it would be, I mean, you could have a $1 million house and somebody goes in the crawl space and everything's hanging down. They're just, a customer potentially is going to say, I'm buying an unmaintained house, and they're going to come at you with a lower price. And again, I would lean towards a surprising one for selling a house is that curb appeal. I know a lot of people are looking for, you know, the house that they're seeing on the cover of a magazine, such as Charleston Home and Design. It just, that's the first thing you see. And then, again, opening that door, people want that kitchen and that homey feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can folks get more information about Handyman Connection?
Just search any variety of searches. Handyman will pop up. It's handymanconnection.com. We have our own website. We're on Facebook. You can call us, 843-529-9400. We're here. And, again, we're looking to get our name out there, Handyman Connection. It's a bit of a challenge as far as people thinking that we can remodel, but fully licensed and bonded and insured home builder. With the ability to anything you want done to your house. And again, if we don't do it personally, we have partners that partner with us.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Well, we have been talking with Steve LaFay with Handyman Connection. Thanks so much, Steve. Talking about a home. Talking about me and you. The things we'll do. I said a home. I'm not talking about a one. I wanna be your
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show and the Custom Home and Remodel Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit newhomecharleston.com, Charleston's online home show, and home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you.